Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests. Ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome, everyone, to All Paws Pet Talk. I am Karen Watts, also known as Karen at PetOfTheDay.com, Karen at CatOfTheDay.com, or Karen at DogOfTheDay.com. And today we have a very special guest with us. Her name is Susan Bulanda. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And we have, instead of an Ask the Vets show this week, we have Susan here to talk about her book, which is called Faithful Friends, Holocaust Survivors' Stories of the Pets Who Gave Them Comfort, Suffered Alongside Them, and Waited for Their Return. So this is a more serious book than some of the ones we've talked about. Susan, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. You know, we hear stories of the Holocaust, but we never hear stories about the animals that were involved with the people. And, of course, you know, any family I know has a pet or ought to have a pet. So how did you decide to do this story of the pets involved in the horrors and in the events in Europe?
Well, I actually, it started with the movie, The Diary of Anne Frank. And if anybody's ever seen that movie, you know that they smuggled a cat up into the attic with them. And as anybody knows that owns a pet, you really, especially a cat, you can't control what they do and where they go, you know, that kind of stuff. And I thought, well, the buildings in those days didn't have insulation. So, you know, if you recall, the people had to stay very quiet during the day because there was a business below.
Right.
And they couldn't have any noise or run the water or do anything so that people would not realize they were there. And I thought, well, how in the world did they keep a cat from making noise?
And right, you know, cats don't make any noise when they walk, but they can be very vocal, some cats more than others.
Right, or knock something over or jump off a table or, you know, whatever. And I got to thinking about how these people must have loved their cat so much they'd risk their lives to smuggle it with them. And then I thought, well, there has to be other stories like that. And that's what started me on many years of research.
Now, do you have any family members or people you know who have been through the Holocaust before you started this book?
No, well, people, not that I knew directly that were in the Holocaust or involved with it, but I've had many Jewish friends, and at the time of World War II, because I was not born yet, obviously, but my father worked for a shipping company, and they were involved with sending supplies and trying to help the people in Holland that they were starving. So, and we had relatives over there that were affected by World War II, but not directly in the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because I grew up here in Massachusetts. All Paws Pet Talk is based in Florida, so I'm the lone northern outpost here, and in my own hometown, I only knew of one Jewish family, and we only knew they were Jewish. It wasn't talked about because they were absent from school one day of the year and for the Jewish holiday in September. And that's all we knew about the Jewish families. But then growing up, we heard stories of World War II. And, you know, I read The Diary of Anne Frank and read other stories. And then when I was an adult, I moved to closer into the Boston area, into a town of Newton, which has a very big Jewish population. There are many synagogues. And so it became more of a topic that I learned more about living here. And, you know, it just, like most people, I'm sure, it didn't occur to me that there were pets involved, too. But if I think about it, like I said before, you know, any family I know, you know, there's a, at least most of my families, there's a pet involved and equally counted as a member of the family.
Right, right, right. Well, I grew up in a town that had a lot of Jewish people, and my Jewish friends helped me become what I am today. So I have a deep love for the Jewish people and a deep respect for them. And one of the reasons why I wrote this book was to keep the history alive, because as we get generations away from these events, they tend to be forgotten. And I thought that perhaps by writing about the pets that I could attract pet lovers. And in my book, there's a little blurb at the beginning of each section about what was going on at that time in that country. So
yes,
it's also a little history lesson.
Right. I wanted to mention that you set the book up so that stories from Hungary or Poland, you know, you set the scene for what was happening in the country at the time. And that's, you know, unless you had a good history class in high school, which I actually did not have a very good history class in high school. I learned more history just living in my house and having parents who were educated and read lots of books and kept lots of books around. My history education ended with Franz Joseph backing into an alley and getting shot in Sarajevo, and that's as far as we got in school. And so, you know, any of the Holocaust learning I did was not in school. And I wonder how many people learned or didn't learn. Because I know even of people of my grandparents' generation, a lot of them did not like to talk about hard times.
Right.
You know, we would just say bad things happened and leave it at that and move on.
Right, right. Well, the thing is, too, you have to realize, which I realized, is that the younger generations today don't have a concept of life without television, radio, newspapers, telephones, which in those days during World War II in Europe, a lot of the communication they did have, which was principally radio and newspapers, were controlled by the Germans and were not telling the truth. So it was very hard for people. Most information was passed by word of mouth. And if anybody's ever played the telephone game, you know how that can get distorted. So it's hard for people to understand what life was like and how little communication there was.
Right,
and, you know, that was one of the things I tried to bring up, not as a focal point, but kind of allude to that in my book.
Right, because especially children now, you know, my youngest niece and nephew have never grown up in a world without the Internet.
Right.
You know, they can email me, they can send me videos, and so not knowing, having a not complete picture of what's happening in the world out there is very difficult, especially for children now to understand. You know, Susan, we are already running out of time. I warned you that these segments are going to go awfully quick once we get going.
Yeah.
We are running out of time for this segment. Please stick with me, and we'll be talking about Faithful Friends, which is Holocaust survivors of the pets who were with them at the time. Folks, we'll be right back with more.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, but a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Today, this is Karen Watts, and we are speaking with Susan Bulanda, whose book, Faithful Friends, is about pets during the Holocaust. And, you know, I like, as I mentioned before, that you separate it by country, separate the stories by country. But how did you find these people? How did you find these stories? You know, I know that it's called the Jewish diaspora, that people, when they left Germany, when they left Poland and Hungary, you know, they, a lot of them traveled very far away from home. So how did you find these stories?
Well, it was not easy. I should have done this project 30 years ago because a lot of people that lived through the Holocaust are no longer with us. I ran ads, and there was one online Jewish magazine that I got most of my responses from. But I actually ran ads in different languages, different venues, contacted Jewish organizations, and it took me quite a few years to collect the stories that I had, and I was hoping that as people read the book, they'd contact me with more stories so I could do a second volume, because I'd love to get the love people had for other animals besides dogs and cats, which is what I got for this go-round. But, you know, there were people that loved horses and maybe their cows or goats or sheep or whatever. I was hoping to get more of a variety of animals to tell about. And maybe, you know, even if it's second or third hand.
That's what I was going to say. You know, I know stories of things that happened long before I was born that have been passed down in my family.
Right.
Including my dad being 4 years old at his uncle's wedding and interrupting the whole thing by spying outside, looking outside the window and saying, "It's a cow." But I'm sure that you know, there are some people whose parents or grandparents told them stories of their animals, because animals are so much a part of our families and a part of our lives, and especially even back then in what, you know, we in the U.S. call the old country, you know, before the age of television and before the age of internet, and when people farmed to survive. And,
right.
You know, they had animals to help on the farm. Some of the dogs in the book are farm dogs.
Right. Well, I'm still hoping, you know, there's always hope, and people can either Google my name or go on my website and reach me through there.
Yes, why don't you give people your website, just in case anybody who's listening, you know, has stories they'd like to pass on and be recorded for future generations.
Okay, it's real easy. It's my name. It's www.s, as in Susan, Bulanda, BULANDA.com. And there's a whole host of things on my website. I have a dog newsletter, a cat newsletter, training tips, and of course the books page, and it's all there. So it's a good site for people to get information.
And I know there's a form right there. There's a contact button. So anybody who has stories that they'd like to to pass on to you. You know, they can contact you right through there. Now, I, you know, a lot of the stories are very, very sad. And so yes. this is not a book to read if you're, you know, looking for something to cheer you up and have a good time. But of course, most of Holocaust stories are very sad. It was a very tragic time for people, for countries, for individuals, and for animals in the whole region. Now, did you decide, you know, which stories to include by, you know, did you have too many cat stories or too many dog stories? Because you have a pretty good balance. And was
yeah,
that...
Yeah, no, it's what I got. Basically, it's what I got. And, you know, some of them were secondhand stories. And not, but I want to say not all of the stories are sad. There are some very happy ones in there. And, but you're right, you know, a lot of them are sad, but what meant the most to me, what was absolutely something I hadn't planned on, when I interviewed these people that were alive that I could still talk to, without exception, they thanked me for giving them closure and caring enough to ask. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, why after all these years? And then I realized that during that time and after that time, nobody wanted to hear that you lost a pet because of all the horror that was happening to people. And in those days, we didn't understand the human-animal bond, even though people experienced it. And there were no support groups. And most of the people I talked to were children at the time.
Right. And, you know, that's what really touches us in the fact that they were children, and any child who has had a pet knows that that pet is a confidant, it's a friend, it's a source of comfort. You know, a dog that curls up on your bed at night is more than just like a stuffed animal. It's a living, breathing part of your family, and so important. And I can see in some of the stories you mentioned, you know, a parent or a neighbor who said, you know, you have to leave behind the cat or leave behind the dog, and the child wondering why this could possibly be. And, you know, you do provide in retrospect thoughts that, you know, that person must have been terrified for the life of the humans. And so not even just thinking that this cat is so important to this child, just trying to get the humans to safety and not get in trouble and killed themselves for their efforts.
Right, right. And that's, you know, a lot of what was going on then. But there were kindnesses. There were kindnesses. There's two instances where a German soldier and an Italian soldier were very kind to the people. And that is something that you never hear about. And again, if you study history, you'll know that a lot of the German soldiers were German soldiers because if they didn't go into service, the Germans threatened to kill their families. So not all the German soldiers were monsters.
They That's were right, people, you know?
Yeah, they were people like us, and they were people that didn't want to be there.
And you know, you can always tell a pet person in a crowd, you know, just because you throw a uniform on a dog lover doesn't mean they're not going to be a dog lover anymore.
That's right. That's right. So it was a really eye-opening, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to bring these points out in my book. I really think these are important factors to know because if you know, most people go, they watch movies, and they see shows on TV, and they never portray the German soldiers in a kind fashion, and they were not all monsters. So I think that's important to realize.
That's right. And, you know, I also want to talk about Nicholas, and we're almost out of time for this segment. I did warn you time was going to fly. But
yes,
there were, you know, there are dog lovers in every country, and I'm sure in every army. And, you know, we read now about soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan, various places around the world, who adopt stray dogs and whose dogs save their lives, you know, by becoming camp guards. And they're not just there to be friendly. They're part of the effort, just like these dogs were part of people's families.
Right.
You know, our animals are beside us through whatever we go through in life. And as horrible as war is, if they can be part of that, you know, that comforts the humans a lot more than science used to recognize. You know, Susan, we are out of time for this segment. We will be coming right back with more All Paws Pet Talk Radio, talking to Susan Bulanda about her book concerning pets and the Holocaust.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We are talking with Susan Bulanda about her book about animals, dogs and cats, pets, who went through the Holocaust with their people. And she does break it out into different animals in different countries, and in Belgium and in Holland and Romania. And one that I know, France was a very, it was a difficult, but in historic speaking, France's experience during the Holocaust and during World War II was fascinating from, you know, if you don't take people's feelings into account, because of the whole, you know, the how the government reacted, how the people reacted, the huge presence of the French resistance, and all the complex things that were going on at the time. And you explain some of that in the beginning for anybody who's going to read the book. There's a whole section at the beginning explaining what is happening in France at the time. But I love that Nicholas, who is the pet that we talk about in this, is a little French bulldog. And he not only does survive the war, but he is saved particularly because he is a French bulldog in France.
Yes, that is one of my favorite stories. And, you know, what happened there is the family gave me the journal of the woman who went through that. So I didn't get to interview her, which I would have loved to do, but she had not, she was not with us any longer. But she kept an excellent journal, and her experiences and what happened I thought were really, really interesting, because Nicholas wound up touring with the German army.
Right, and she was herself a ballet teacher, and yes. So she credits her, you know, all her training about form and structure and eye for beauty in choosing this puppy in the first place, who becomes such a star.
Right, right. And it turns out, I don't know all the details of the program at the time, but France tried to preserve their breeds. And Nicholas was chosen to be one of them to perpetuate the breed. And what that meant was that she got food for him, which other people didn't get. And you know, one of the things in some of my other accounts is people have to realize that in certain areas of Europe, food was very scarce. People were starving to death, and animals were starving to death. So for her to be able to get, for him to be so good that she was able to get food from the government for Nicholas was important. But, you know, like I said in the story, Nicholas, who was obviously very spoiled, didn't like the biscuits.
Yes, and it's a fun little detail that he just, you know, he was spoiled his whole life from his doting mummy who picked him out as a puppy and who just loved him and spoiled him rotten, so that when he got these stinky biscuits, she ended up being able to trade them for food that he would actually eat. And so those Nicholas's good looks, and of course, especially during wartime, there were a lot of breeds that came close to extinction, you know, yes. Places where armies were going back and forth over the land. In many of these countries, you know, it would be the Nazis and then the Allied troops and then the Nazis and then the resistance troops, you know, and people were concerned with saving their lives. They weren't necessarily paying attention to, you know, whether this breed of dog was going to survive.
Right, right. Right. And those are things, details you don't read about in history books. I mean, these are the insider information, so to speak, that people really don't understand or appreciate. I mean, if you could put all of this in one place and let people realize and read about it, you would see how tough it was over there. You know, I have friends that were actually in Germany. One friend of mine in particular that was a young girl in Germany, even though she was a U.S. citizen, she got stuck over there. And her accounts of how she had to survive and what happened to her are pretty amazing. So it's a very complex situation. And in the United States, we have no concept of what it's like to what England went through, what Germany went through, what these countries went through. Towns being bombed, buildings devastated, crops ruined, food not available, transportation not available, you know, just medical help not available. It's just really something else. People just don't understand all of that.
And getting back to Nicholas's story, I like the fact that we actually, in the book, you do have a photo of him and a photo of his pedigree, which was so important in, you know, just saving his life and preserving him. And he was such a good dog that, as you said, for a while he was with the German soldiers and going around with them before he got back to her.
Yep. It's quite an amazing story.
Now, you know, if only Nicholas could type, we could have had his memoirs as well, because I'm sure he would have even more stories to tell.
Oh,
and one
yeah.
thing that, you know, a lot of people don't know is my husband and I do a website called dogoftheday.com, which I said at the top of the show. And there are people who don't know that if they look at a dog and say that's a German Shepherd and someone else says that it's an Alsatian, I have to try to explain to them, because I learned the history, that they really are German Shepherds developed in Germany. But because Alsace and Lorraine were disputed territory in the war, people in America and some in Britain didn't love the dogs, so they didn't want to think of them as German. So they called them Alsatians, and it's the same dog, you know?
Yep.
and it was... just, you know, it was a people thing.
Yeah. Well, I can remember when I was a child, people referring to German Shepherds as Alsatians. And I think that has, I don't think people do that anymore, but I can remember that.
Yeah, there are still people, and they don't know why. So it's you know, these are perfectly good dogs. It's not their fault. And, you know, there are other dogs who, the poodle, which is actually known as the French poodle, is a German dog, but we all just think of it as a French poodle because France adopted it.
Yep. That's true. They're actually a duck retriever.
Yes, and if you've ever walked a standard poodle, you know that they prefer to, if not carry the leash in their mouth, carry a stick or anything else in their mouth. They really are retrievers. And I once worked at a place where the owners of the business had a standard poodle. And so anybody who took Lily out for a walk, I would urge them to find a stick for Lily to pick up because the office was behind a shopping plaza. And if you didn't find a stick for her, she'd pick up something. And it was probably, you know, a used cigar or something completely disgusting. But, you know, there are retrievers and they will retrieve whether or not you want them to. You know, we are running out of time for this segment. Susan, will you stick with us?
Yep.
We'll be right back with more of All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My name is Karen Watts, and you know, before I forget, I want to tell people if you want to ask a question of Susan or any of our guests, of me, or you know, even if you want to ask a question of the engineer who's hiding in the background, whose voice you never hear, you know, you can go on our website, which is www.allpawspettalk.com. And right there on the homepage, there's a link where you can click and listen to shows 24/7, no matter where you are, as long as you have a computer or some other device, electronic device. But there's a form right there on the homepage where you can ask questions. Just scroll down a little bit because, of course, we have other information up at the top, too. Now, we are talking with Susan Bulanda about her book, Faithful Friends. And it's interesting, the cat stories. I love cats, have loved them my whole life, but have been horribly allergic to them since the age of 12. So we do catoftheday.com because I can, you know, show off other people's cats electronically, and that way I don't wheeze. But, you know, it's important, the stories about how dear these cats were to some of the people. And, you know, everybody thinks, you know, well, farm cats are just, you know, they're there on the farm and they don't really interact with the people. But these cats were so much loved by these children. And it's, as you said, it's mostly children whose stories you are telling, because there are the ones who were so bonded with the pets and who, of course, some of them are still surviving.
Right. Well, you know, I've owned dogs and cats all my life, plus a few other things that my mother wasn't happy about at the time. But, you know, cats I think they're one of the more misunderstood pets, common pets, because they are actually very affectionate and can be very social. And if you understand that, you can appreciate how dearly loved these cats were by their owners, and the comfort that they gave them. I would be hard pressed to say which I loved more, a dog or a cat, because I love them both. But I have a different relationship with my cats than I do my dogs. So if you're a cat owner, you can understand how these children felt. And, you know, the cats had, I think they had a little easier time surviving than the dogs did if they were homeless, because they didn't need as much to eat as a dog.
Right.
So if they could find a little bit of food, they could survive.
Well, I loved the fact that, you know, in the little story about Ketzla, the little girl talks about Ketzla, the one-eyed kitten, mm-hmm. and being her friend and comforting her and giving her the slow blink that she knew meant, you know, I love you, you're my special person, and we're happy together. And was so sweet to read that, because that's something that, if you've heard of the cat behaviorist Jackson Galaxy, he now tries to teach that to people and calls it the cat I love you, which is you blink your eyes slowly as you're mentally saying I love you, or if you're in the presence of the cat, you say it out loud, and
right.
one blink for each word. But this little girl knew that, you know, 50, 60 years ago when
right,
she had
right.
her kitten.
Right. And, you know, that's what's interesting, because people that love animals, and I think it's almost intuitively, understand their body language. And, you know, many, many people do. And, you know, it's funny, because if you have a cat and they blink at you like that and you blink back at them, they'll blink back at you, and you can sit there blinking back and forth for a little while. And it's just really, you know, it's nice. It's a very pleasant thing. It's a nice, quiet way of saying I love you back and forth to your cat. And, you know, I ask questions like that when I interviewed people, because I am a certified animal behaviorist, so I knew what things to ask and what to look for. And that helped. So,
and
you know,
the story of Ketzla was a particularly touching one, because, as I mentioned earlier, Ketzla was a one-eyed kitten. And as you say in the story, you know, in those days, a lot of times any deformed animal was just, you know, not allowed to live.
Yeah, they were cold.
And so, you know, I heard that when I was a child and thought how horrible that was. And so you knew that this was a very special kitten to the whole family, that the mother decided, when of all the kittens, that would be the one they would keep. And
right.
she became such a part of the family.
Right. And plus, it shows the kindness of the mother, you know, to be willing to do that when it's not the popular thing to do. So there's a lot of unspoken things, you know, that you can learn from these stories. If you think it through, think about it.
Right. And a lot of what Ketzla did and what a lot of the animals did in the story is, especially because most of these people, as I said, were children, Ketzla would still be the friend of the little girl even when the other children weren't playing with her anymore. And she thought that, you know, Ketzla really understood, because Ketzla was a little different from everybody else. So Ketzla could be her friend even though her friends were treating her badly
right.
for some reason she didn't understand.
Right, right. And I think that was where the animals acted as almost like therapy animals, because these kids, you know, I can only imagine what it was like, that these kids could not understand, or what changed. Why do my friends not want to be friends with me anymore? I mean, it happened to adults. There were a lot of Jewish people that were professionals, and all of a sudden, like, I'll just pick an example, the doctor all of a sudden patients don't want to go to him that went to him all his life because they were Jewish. They were, you know, targeted. And what you have to realize also is that for certain times, the people were afraid to go to be labeled as a Jew lover. And possibly many of the people that hid Jewish people or helped them escape risked their lives doing that. So some of that was not just because they were Jewish. Some of it was because the people were afraid for their own lives.
That's right.
It was a very, very unsettling, difficult, fearful time for everybody.
That's what one of the things I wanted to mention is that fear was so prevalent, you know, in the adults and the children, and the animals were so important to these children in that they would comfort them. You know, there were dogs who would try to defend the children, and the dog would, of course, always be the child's friend no matter what. And anyone who's ever gone through a hard time with a pet in their presence knows that, you know, fur absorbs tears awfully well.
They do. I can remember crying in my cat's side when I was a kid. I don't remember what I was crying about, but I can remember.
That's right. You know, so if you, and it's surprising that we, you know, don't hear more stories about the animals that were with these people and such danger that they were in. Now, as you mentioned, cats are so much smaller and can survive on a lot less. You know, a cat can not only find mice and kill and eat mice, a dog can do that, but a mouse is way more filling for a 6-pound cat than it is for a 50-pound dog.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A dog would have to eat a lot of mice.
That's right.
And be able to catch them too, you know.
That's right. Okay. We are out of time for this segment. We'll be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we're talking with Susan Bulanda about her book, Faithful Friends, how stories of pets and how they helped people survive in different countries all during the Holocaust that happened not only to Jewish people but to others that the German army decided that the upper levels of the German military decided were undesirable. So not only the Jewish people, but the people who would help them and in other places, other ethnic groups, you know, so many people were in danger and so many people died in this time. And so it's good to have the stories, you know, the touching stories of the pets who helped people through it. Now, is there any particular story that's your favorite, Susan?
Well, I do like the French story with Nicholas. that is really, you know, I thought that was one of the better ones.
And, you know, not only does he start out a little spoiled, rotten French bulldog puppy and survive the war, but he ends up going to Hollywood. So that's... And, you know, some of the stories you do have different countries represented, and Poland is one of them. And there are not, you know, there are not a lot of stories out of Poland, even though some of the major concentration camps ended up being in Poland, because Poland was overrun so quickly. And so it's good to have the stories from Poland to remind people that, you know, Poland, you know, it is a country now, and it was a country that went through an awful lot, and it was so confusing for the children.
Yes, yes, it was. Well, even for adults, like I said earlier, they didn't have the media or reliable information. So, you know, people say to me today, well, I don't understand why they didn't know what was going on, or how could they not know there were concentration camps and things like this, and they just don't understand that some areas, villages and towns were almost completely isolated from what was going on. So, yeah, it's possible they didn't know, they didn't understand, they knew that something was going on, but not the full scope of it, not the full of the horrors of it, until later. So it's hard to imagine, you know, like how it could be, because some of the people didn't, you know, try to flee, but they were too late. They got caught by the German army because they didn't know. Some people didn't believe. Some of the Jewish people were, this is so crazy. I can't believe this was going to happen. Or could
happen. And
a lot
of people thought it would be, you know, it'll be over soon.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, you have, for people today that have news happening across the world and they see it as it happens, it's hard for them to imagine life
you
like
know,
that.
And it was hard for me, you know, being someone alive in 2013 who's learned so much history, it was hard for me to read the story of the girl whose brother, you know, wanted to stay with his father and yes. wanted the little dog and all the children who wanted the dog to come with them on the trains
right.
or wanted the cat on the train with them. And I thought, oh, sweetie, you know, you don't know where that train is going.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm saying. They didn't know. They didn't understand. They don't forget the Germans lied to these people. You know, there was one case where they told them that they were going to take the children and send them, you know, someplace safe, and they convinced parents to give up their kids, and it wasn't like that at all. So it's not just not knowing, they were lied to.
Right,
they
the little girl who ended up, you know, being used as a blood donor.
That's right.
In a basement of a building in Romania.
That's right, that's right. So, I mean, these are the things that, it's hard, you know, you don't read about that stuff in the history books. You know, this is the reality of what these people faced, the misinformation that they had. And, you know, you could say, well, why would they give up their children? Well, the conditions they lived in were so terrible. They figured if their kids could survive, they believed there was kindnesses in some of the, you know, German people, the German armies, they believed, how could they, you know, how could they kill kids, that kind of thing. And, but they did.
Yeah, and in her case, her parents were told, she was a little girl in Romania, and the parents were told that the children would be, you know, that they wanted to save these children so the children would be taken to some place and cleaned up and gotten healthy so they could go to Palestine. And, you know, if you thought, well, this is a way for my child to survive and get healthy.
That's right. That's right. Because these people were starving to death. You know, they would beg on the streets for food. They would steal for food. I mean, and clothes. They would steal, you know, people would rob you for your clothes to stay warm. And it's just so hard for us in the United States to comprehend conditions like that. You know,
even
if you think of England, with all the bombings they had, the people were helping each other. They were your allies. And the situation that these Jewish people faced, they didn't know who they could trust.
There were people who wanted to help them. There were people who would help them. The Nicholas, the little French bulldog, his person was part of the French resistance. And in doing that, you know, her life was in danger every minute of every day.
Right. And in that case, the reason she was arrested was because her husband, to save his own skin, turned her in.
That's right. And, you know, it's very hard to understand what people were going through and the emotions that they were facing. But it is good to know that there were cats and there were dogs with them, especially with the children, to comfort them, to purr them to sleep at night. And, you know, there's just nothing like the bond between an animal and a child. And, you know, grown-ups too.
Right. And in many cases, those pets gave them hope to survive.
That's right. And they gave them, you know, the children who had to leave the dog behind and get on that train to they didn't know where. They would think and imagine going back home to that dog and how happy the dog would be. And that would help them get through all the horrors that they were going through.
That's right. So it was a really fascinating research project for me. So I'm, you know, I'm still in touch with one of the contributors, by the way. So every once in a while I get an email. So it's been a rewarding experience for me to do this project, but I'm mostly really happy that I was able to give some of the people closure.
And to give these animals and their humans a voice. Susan, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We are running out of time for this week.
Okay.
But if anybody wants to buy your book or to read your book, they can go to your website, sbulanda.com. And anybody wants to ever find out about our show, they can go to allpawspetdoc.com. And we'll be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank you so much, Susan. And folks,
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back next week with more.
Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello. Welcome back to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb and Duane. Hi, Duane. How you doing today?
Deb, I'm doing absolutely fine. It's a beautiful day. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day here, and I'm very, very happy to be on the program and talking with our new guest coming up, Cindy.
Yes. Well, we have a guest. I know you're calling from the sunny Okanagan, and for once I'm calling from the sunny Lower Mainland here in Vancouver. But we've got Cindy all the way from Hershey, Pennsylvania. So welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's nice to have you. I know my dad used to love going there for a big car meet. every summer, and he would come back with the most wonderful chocolate from Hershey, Pennsylvania, chocolates we didn't have in Canada. It was the most exciting time of the year to see what he would bring home. So I guess the dogs there have to be very careful. No chocolate.
Yes, you do actually smell it in the air.
Really?
Really? Wouldn't that be nice? It'd be like Hawaii for a chocolate lover, wouldn't it?
Oh, I wonder if you'd get sick of it or not. No,
not really.
No.
Chocolate's kind of one of those things that I don't know if you ever get tired of smelling it.
Well, I know you're here to talk about herbs for your pets, at AOL.com, and you've got herbal tonics and supplements. So tell us a little bit about that, please, Cindy.
Okay. I started with the product line Peaceable Kingdom Essentials in 2010. I had been doing animal communication for over 15 years, and I kept hearing from my clientele how they would prefer to look at alternative remedies for a variety of health and behavioral issues. So I decided, did some research, and I studied under Rosemary Gladstar in Vermont and got certification in herbalism and launched the product line in June of 2010. So our products are USDA certified organic, and they're also Pennsylvania certified organic also. The Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture actually sets the standard for the rest of the country. So they have very high standards as far as the organic process. The blends are all handcrafted by people that are also passionate about animal well-being, and they're not mass-produced. So I have a variety of products that address a variety of health and behavioral issues.
Yeah, you were mentioning in your press release about behavioral problems. What seems to be probably the most common problem that people actually seek you out for and ask you what particular supplement or tonic is applicable to that? Like, what is perhaps the most common issue you have to deal with?
I would say the big issue is probably stress and anxiety. And we do have a product called Pause a Moment that does help with calming an animal down to deal with, like, thunderstorms or even sometimes around the holidays when there's a lot of going on, people coming and going and what have you. So we do have Pause a Moment, which helps to address that issue with the pets. So, and it's not going to change their personality, like drug them up. It's basically just going to be something to kind of take the edge off.
Yeah, exactly.
And help them cope with or calm them down in a very nice, subtle way.
I'm hoping we still have Deborah with us. Deborah, are you still there? Maybe not. Tell us a little bit about some of the physical issues that people commonly refer to your particular products to help them deal with their pets.
The physical issues, we do have a flea and tick trio. We sell flea and tick remedies in a powder, a spray, and a bar soap. And the bar soap is actually good for humans, too, if you have a real issue with fleas, to lather up with that soap. It'll help repel the fleas and ticks. With the flea products, they do contain neem oil, and even according to the Daily Puppy website, neem oil is likely to cause a total eradication of fleas on the pets. So it's not only a repellent, it also will eliminate the fleas and ticks. The other ingredients that we have with the neem leaf, which is also an antibacterial and antiviral herb, we have the feverfew and chrysanthemums, and they also cause a paralytic effect on the fleas. And mullein flower is a very good wound healer, and eucalyptus, we also have that in the products because the fleas just don't like the smell. And we have nettle, which also helps to soothe the skin. Some other products we have for physical issues, we do have a senior variety of products. One is Over the Hill, and that's very helpful with strengthening the functions in the nervous system, the digestive system, and also helps with the circular tract with older animals. We have Spring in Their Step, and that is very helpful with chronic joint inflammation, arthritis, fibromyalgia. And we have Vim and Vigor, which also helps with boosting the immune system and also helps with improving resistance to stress. We have Digestease, which helps support the digestive tract. Also, with the Digestease, it's good for inflammation that may occur with the digestive system. So if an animal is maybe suffering from colitis or inflammatory bowel disease or irritable bowel, that will help with soothing the digestive tract and help them to absorb more nutrients. We have a detox cleanse, which is really great. It's a real nice blend of toning and purifying herbs to help them if they've recovered from illness, poisoning, or even chemical exposure. It's also really good if a pet has been administered any synthetic compounds or medicines, such as anesthesia. We have Reliever Achiever. That was launched in 2012, and that's a topical spray that helps with minor skin irritations, hot spots, or any abrasions. We have
Cindy,
a warmer...
I've got some more questions I want to deal with, because a lot of people have particular herbs in their own closets and in their own medicine chests, and I want to make sure that there's something that we shouldn't be overlapping. Some people might decide to do a little self-diagnosis. We're going to come back, take a little break here.
And anytime you're near,
when it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, but a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
And welcome Welcome back to Smart Animal Talk. This is Dwayne Graham, voice Deborah Wolf, is going to join us here momentarily. We have Araya McGarry, who is joining us from LiveYourLegacySummit.com. Now, in doing shows with Deborah for the past little while, we have primarily talked with veterinarians, people who are directly involved in the pet industry. And what I have to do right off the top is just ask you, Araya, what is the association of LiveYourLegacySummit.com with pets and pet owners?
Very good question. Well, the association
I just want to find
is...
out about you.
I honor people that are giving back to the community, and I call them living legends. And in doing that, I'm a huge animal lover. I won my TV show Emmy for featuring a zoo, a rescue zoo called Noah's Ark. And I was kissed by bears and hugged by monkeys. And in my summit, I have honored some pet lovers in places like Noah's Ark that rescues animals. And I've honored a 150-pound Great Pyrenees dog that has done over 190 visitations, humane visitations, I should say therapy visitations, in just the last 18 months. So I'm a huge animal lover, especially a huge dog lover. A dog saved my life when I was a baby. So my love for animals and helping them and helping to give back to charities that help and rescue them is kind of where that line is drawn right there.
Very interesting. You obviously must have a lot of fans in the pet industry that are very appreciative of you supporting their various causes. Is there anything, I know you mentioned you like dogs and anything, but is there any particular cause that you have a direct association with that might be closest to your heart, let's say?
Well, I love the Noah's Ark Rehabilitation Sanctuary in Locust Grove, Georgia, because they've rescued 1,900 animals of all types. I love the Humane Society of Forsyth because they're a no-kill shelter. But basically what your listeners can do, if they have a nonprofit of a rescue of any sort that deals with any type of animals, they can nominate them for a chance to be featured at my events, the Live Your Legacy Summit events. And so I can help them, because my legacy is to help as many nonprofits that are giving back to animals, children, women, those types of things, is my purpose in life. So if I can help them get the word out about their charity or their nonprofit or their rescue mission for animals, there's no limit to only cats or only dogs or only exotics. I love them all, and I want to help as many as I can.
Now, if somebody was to say to me that there's a Live Your Legacy Summit coming to a town near me, or do you go on the road or is it online? How does a person support your group so that allows you to support other groups, like pet groups and dogs?
Oh, sure, sure. Well, we do them live now. It was a television show for a year here in the Atlanta area. And then when I won the Emmy, we went and started doing live events. And I've done them in Atlanta and Orlando and St. Petersburg, Florida. And we want to start venturing out in 2014 to other cities. So if your viewers would love to have us come and give recognition and honor and spotlight the nonprofits and charity groups in their area and people that are rescuing and helping animals, then all they need to do is contact me from my website, nominate some key people, you know, get our attention. And if we see a buzz in that city, we want to come to you.
So what am I going to go away with from one of your Live Your Legacy summits? What would you like me to leave the door with, other than a big smile on my face and probably feeling a lot better than when I came in? What else would you like to do?
Oh, that's a great question. What we really do is we, through several speakers from all over the country and honoring people that are living the life of giving back, we want people to find out what their legacy is, find out how they really want to be remembered, what causes are most important to them, and how can they start right now to give back and make a difference. Because we never know how long we have to live. So do you want to rescue animals? Well, let's start now. So I introduced them to great charities and nonprofits on the stage that they could possibly get involved with. So you're going to go away with a greater purpose, a greater incentive to say, today's the day to roll up my sleeves and help. Many of them have donated time or money or products and services to the nonprofits they met, like the Humane Society or Noah's Ark, on my stage. I'm pretty much a matchmaker at these events, too. I'm matching up great people that have a desire to make a difference with great charities and nonprofits that would love new supporters. So you're going to make friends, new contacts, business partnerships have come about, and some of my nonprofits have walked away with $18,000 checks by somebody in the audience falling in love with them and getting their company to sponsor them as a charity and give them a check. So a lot
happens. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's like I said, it's a matchmaking event for charities and philanthropists and business people all coming together.
Well, I'm not sure if I can join the conversation here, Duane. How you doing?
We're doing fine. I really wanted to find out from Araya exactly what Live Your Legacy Summit has to do with animals, because I'm totally new to that, and she did a very good job of explaining exactly how she has a vested interest in pets, in particular dogs. She's got a soft spot for dogs, and it just shows how she manages to sort of spread that love from her organization to deserving organizations. And if you look on her website, you'll see that actually a heart is part of her logo, Live Your Legacy Summit, and it's quite interesting.
Oh, yeah. People can, like I said, nominate organizations. Like one of them was Canine Assistance. These are canines that go out and they help people, because you know, and you guys probably do know this, that petting an animal, a dog, a cat, or any animal, helps you live longer, and they have proven that in some research. So animals are very therapeutic, and I love supporting nonprofits that have therapy dogs. You know, those golden retrievers that went out to Newtown, Connecticut, they were right on the scene with those precious golden retrievers.
Nice.
To just let those children pet a dog. And the de-stressing of that doesn't need to be analyzed or doesn't need a big degree. It's just the love of a pet that will de-stress in time of tragedy is absolutely amazing. And to be able to just help organizations like that get the word out, the more people know about them, if they need them in a situation like that, or to help them monetarily in any way they can. Because animals have a great service, besides being bomb dogs and service dogs or whatever.
Yeah, comfort is a service, especially of those in distress and children in distress. But when you say that about the science behind it, there's so much science behind it, to the point where if you've had a heart attack, you're 8 times more likely to be alive a year later if you own a dog. And that was just astounding, right? Everyone thought, wow, well, it must be because of the exercise. So they decided to do the studies on cat owners, and they found the statistic was the same. 8 times more likely to be alive a year after a heart attack if you own a cat or a dog. So
I have both, so I'm living a long
figure
time.
Figure that one out, you know? And then in England, they've gone so far as to call something, they have this program called Prescription Dogs for the Elderly. And if you're over a certain age, you can apply. You get part of the purchase price free, and you get care subsidized, vet care subsidized, all this kind of stuff. You have a prescription dog. You can't be evicted or kicked out of where you live or told you have to get rid of the dog. And it's because it costs the country less to do that, because you see the doctor so much less. So, oh no, we only have 1 minute left, Duane, and I feel like I'm just joining the conversation. Can we come back with Araya after the break? What do you think, Duane?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine with me. I just wanted to ask her a few other things as well, just to do with how people can help her cause.
Okay, so we'll be back on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb and Duane after the break, talking with Araya about how you can make your legacy matter. We'll talk soon. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy, and I love you, and you know that.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Welcome back to Smart Animal Talk. This is Dwayne Graham. Boys, Deborah Wolf is going to join us here momentarily. We have Araya McGarry, who is joining us from LiveYourLegacySummit.com. Now, in doing shows with Deborah for the past little while, we have primarily talked with veterinarians, people who are directly involved in the pet industry. And what I have to do right off the top is just ask you, Araya, what is the association of Live Your Legacy Summit .com with pets and pet owners?
Very good question. Well, the association
I just want to find out about you.
I honor people that are giving back to the community, and I call them living legends. And in doing that, I'm a huge animal lover. I won my TV show Emmy for featuring a zoo, a rescue zoo called Noah's Ark. And I was kissed by bears and hugged by monkeys. And in my summit, I have honored some pet lovers and places like Noah's Ark that rescues animals. And I've honored a 150-pound Great Pyrenees dog that has done over 190 visitations, a humane visitations, I should say therapy visitations, in just the last 18 months. So I'm a huge animal lover, especially a huge dog lover. A dog saved my life when I was a baby. So my love for animals and helping them and helping to give back to charities that help and rescue them is kind of where that line is drawn right there.
Very interesting. You obviously must have a lot of fans in the pet industry that are very appreciative of you supporting their various causes. Is there anything, I know you mentioned you like dogs and anything, but is there any particular cause that you have a direct association with that might be closest to your heart, let's say?
Well, I love the Noah's Ark Rehabilitation Sanctuary in Locust Grove, Georgia, because they've rescued 1,900 animals of all types. I love the Humane Society of Forsyth because they're a no-kill shelter. But basically what your listeners can do, if they have a nonprofit of a rescue of any sort that deals with any type of animals, they can nominate them for a chance to be featured at my events, the Live Your Legacy Summit events. And so I can help them, because my legacy is to help as many nonprofits that are giving back to animals, children, women, those types of things, is my purpose in life. So if I can help them get the word out about their charity or their nonprofit or their rescue mission for animals, there's no limit to only cats or only dogs or only exotics. I love them all, and I want to help as many as I can.
Now, if somebody was to say to me that there's a Live Your Legacy Summit coming to a town near me, or do you go on the road or is it online? How does a person support your group so that allows you to support other groups like pet groups and dogs?
Oh, sure, sure. Well, we do them live now. It was a television show for a year here in the Atlanta area. And then when I won the Emmy, we went and started doing live events, and I've done them in Atlanta and Orlando and St. Petersburg, Florida, and we want to start venturing out in 2014 to other cities. So if your viewers would love to have us come and give recognition and honor and spotlight the nonprofits and charity groups in their area and people that are rescuing and helping animals, then all they need to do is contact me from my website, nominate some key people, you know, get our attention. And if we see a buzz in that city, we want to come to you.
So what am I going to go away with from one of your Live Your Legacy Summits? What would you like me to leave the door with, other than a big smile on my face and probably feeling a lot better than when I came in? What else would you like to do?
Oh, that's a great question. What we really do is we, through several speakers from all over the country and honoring people that are living the life of giving back, we want people to find out what their legacy is, find out how they really want to be remembered, what causes are most important to them, and how can they start right now to give back and make a difference. Because we never know how long we have to live. So do you want to rescue animals? Well, let's start now. So I introduced them to great charities and nonprofits on the stage that they could possibly get involved with. So you're going to go away with a greater purpose, a greater incentive to say, today's the day to roll up my sleeves and help. Many of them have donated time or money or products and services to the nonprofits they met, like the Humane Society or Noah's Ark, on my stage. I'm pretty much a matchmaker at these events, too. I'm matching up great people that have a desire to make a difference with great charities and nonprofits that would love new supporters. So you're going to make friends, new contacts, business partnerships have come about. And some of my nonprofits have walked away with $18,000 checks by somebody in the audience falling in love with them and getting their company to sponsor them as a charity and give them a check. So a lot
of that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's like I said, it's a matchmaking event for charities and philanthropists and business people all coming together.
Well, I'm not sure if I can join the conversation here, Duane. How you doing?
We're doing fine. I really wanted to find out from Araya exactly what Live Your Legacy Summit has to do with animals, because I'm totally new to that, and she did a very good job of explaining exactly how she has a vested interest in pets, in particular dogs. She's got a soft spot for dogs, and it just shows how she manages to sort of spread that love from her organization to deserving organizations. And if you look on her website, you'll see that actually a heart is part of her logo, Live Your Legacy Summit. It's quite interesting.
Oh, yeah. People can, like I said, nominate organizations. Like one of them was Canine Assistance. These are canines that go out and they help people, because you know, and you guys probably do know this, that petting an animal, a dog, a cat, or any animal, helps you live longer, and they have proven that in some research. So animals are very therapeutic, and I love supporting nonprofits that have therapy dogs. You know, those golden retrievers that went out to Newtown, Connecticut, they were right on the scene with those precious golden retrievers.
Nice.
To just let those children pet a dog. And the de-stressing of that doesn't need to be analyzed or doesn't need a big degree. It's just the love of a pet that will de-stress in time of tragedy is absolutely amazing. And to be able to just help organizations like that get the word out, the more people know about them, if they need them in a situation like that, or to help them monetarily in any way they can. Because animals have a great service, besides being bomb dogs and service dogs or whatever.
Yeah, comfort is a service, especially of those in distress and children in distress. But when you say that about the science behind it, there's so much science behind it, to the point where if you've had a heart attack, you're 8 times more likely to be alive a year later if you own a dog. And that was just astounding, right? Everyone thought, wow, well, it must be because of the exercise. So they decided to do the studies on cat owners, and they found the statistic was the same. Eight times more likely to be alive a year after a heart attack if you own a cat or a dog. So
I have both, so I'm living a long
figure
time.
Figure that one out, you know? And then in England, they've gone so far as to call something, they have this program called Prescription Dogs for the Elderly. And if you're over a certain age, you can apply. You get part of the purchase price free, and you get care subsidized, vet care subsidized, all this kind of stuff. You have a prescription dog. You can't be evicted or kicked out of where you live or told you have to get rid of the dog. And it's because it costs the country less to do that, because you see the doctor so much less. So, oh no, we only have 1 minute left, Duane, and I feel like I'm just joining the conversation. Can we come back with Araya after the break? What do you think, Duane?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine with me. I just wanted to ask her a few other things as well, just to do with how people can help her cause.
Okay, so we'll be back on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb and Duane after the break, talking with Araya about how you can make your legacy matter. We'll talk soon. Stay tuned.
And anytime you're near,
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb and Duane, and we're talking with Aurea. So, Duane, go ahead. I know you've got some questions for her.
Well, yes, and Aurea had mentioned this early. She really thanks volunteers a lot for helping things out. And, of course, in order for Aurea and her group and her volunteers to do their job, you obviously must need support from vendors and sponsors. So if somebody's listening to this particular broadcast now and says, you know, I like what you're doing, I really would like to help that out and see if I can make some things go for you and contribute however I can. So what would you suggest people do in that case, Aurea?
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for asking. It's very simple. They can go to my website, which is liveyourlegacysummit.com, and they can see the vendor sponsor packages. But if they're not in the same city and they can't come as a vendor or as a sponsor live in person, I do have customized sponsorships for people like, you know, Ford has been one of my sponsors and some people that are out of town. And there's special ways they can engage with my attendees and be a sponsor without having to actually be there. And it all goes to support the cause and help me spotlight these great people and help these organizations. So all they have to do is go to my website. They can email me for a special package or a special deal. We'd customize everything that you don't see on the website. So they can come to me with wanting to help a little or help a lot, and we can customize it.
I'm kind of wondering, how many pets have you got, Aurea? You said you're going to live a long time. How many pets have you got? Is it a zoo at your house?
Well, it needs to be bigger. My two goldens passed away last year, and that was so sad. But we got a Great Pyrenees puppy last year who I adore. I have a 10-year-old cat, or 13-year-old cat now, a 10-year-old Yorkie, a parakeet. I used to have a kangaroo, and so...
A kangaroo?
We used to have a Domus kangaroo, those miniature kangaroos.
Oh, my gosh. In Hershey, Pennsylvania. I mean, you're not calling from Sydney, Australia. Why on earth?
No, she's in Atlanta.
I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, you're in Atlanta. Atlanta? How did you find yourself in this relationship with a kangaroo? That's an odd one.
Well, it's so funny. My love is animals. And when I married my Prince Charming, who was my second husband, on our first anniversary, I've always wanted a pink Moluccan cockatoo. So we went to this breeder, and I lived in Florida, and we went to look at his cockatoos, because in Florida there's breeders everywhere, and they have all these animals in their backyards. It's hysterical. There's no rules in Florida. People have cougars and tigers in their backyard. It's crazy. Yeah. So we went to this breeder to look at the cockatoos, and in his backyard he had lemurs and he had deers, and come jumping out of his house was this adorable kangaroo. And he said, I'm getting in some miniature ones. They only get 15 pounds, and I'll have them like within a week or two. Do you want one? So I switched from getting a cockatoo to getting a one-pound baby kangaroo for my first anniversary.
Oh, you know, I do.
You know some women want diamonds. I want animals.
I do know about those little zoos in Florida and the little places. And in fact, I worked at one once where one of my jobs was to take this mountain lion, Charlie, for a walk. and play fetch with him in the ocean.
Oh my gosh.
A surreal experience walking down the street with a cougar on a leash, and it's like 6 o'clock in the morning because you don't want to freak people out. You go really early.
Right.
And people just like, they do this double take. Like, did I really see that woman walking a lion? Yes, you did.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, that's great. So I'm a little low on animals right now. I need to go get a couple of more.
Well, yeah, the Great Pyrenees, though. I mean, what do you do? Do you have a mop for the ceiling? Like, that's a lot of drool being shaken about.
He doesn't drool. Believe it or not, he is not a drooler. I know most are, but so far he has not started drooling yet. He's a year and a half, and he's only a little less than 100 pounds, and
oh, it's
not drooling at all.
Oh, it's coming. I can see your future, and it's a wet future. It's coming. Now, maybe he
I don't mind. I love Great Pyrenees. They're like gentle giants, and he's such a protector, and any room I'm in, he's there, and he just lays right in front of me like a guard, and he's just such a mama's boy and a lap dog.
Do you know what their job was? Their real job, besides loving you? I mean, their real job? Do you know?
I thought they were guard dogs for pastures.
Bears.
And
it's
animals.
All about the bears. They're strong enough, powerful enough to keep away bears in the Pyrenees Mountains.
Wow.
That's no lap dog you got there.
He doesn't know it yet, then.
He doesn't know that. Yeah, no, he doesn't know that at all.
Very good. No, it's an excellent dog. But a lot of hair, too, for the South. He must be hot.
Yeah, well, he stays in air conditioning.
Of course. Yes.
Of course. He's great. You know, I used to have a Kuvas. And those were the ones that were killing the German soldiers, because when they came to attack the families, those dogs would go for the soldiers' throats. And so Hitler tried to get all of the Kuvasses exterminated, so they had to escape, you know, and smuggle the Kuvasses out of the country because they were protecting their families so fervently from the soldiers.
Oh, very cool story.
Yeah, the Kuvasses
like
and Great Pyrenees are my cousins.
The dogs they have in Afghanistan. They have dogs like that in Afghanistan that are trying to go after terrorists. And the terrorists are more afraid of the dogs than they are of the soldiers. And they will intentionally target the animals.
Yeah.
Above the soldiers.
Well, the Kuvas is a beautiful dog. It's white and it's very dramatic looking, but it's also very stubborn to train. But yeah, these dogs in the line of fire, I feel so bad for them. There was a story in the news, though, that was kind of funny. You know how there's certain states like Washington that have now decriminalized marijuana? There's a couple of states that, yeah, well, the dogs have to go back for retraining because they're wasting everybody's time pointing out pot. So, go back.
Send them to
learn.
A different state.
Yeah, really.
They're going to get exported.
No, they're retraining them all, but it's so funny. They've got, like, these eyes, it's really funny to watch. It's very funny. I never would have thought.
Oh, that is funny.
The dog's probably
they're smart. They
like,
can be
make
retrained.
Up your mind. No, the dog's probably shaking his head like, you humans.
Really?
Yeah. Give me a job and let me do it. Just don't change the rules in the middle
you
of
know,
the
You know, whatever. What do you want me to find? I'll find whatever it is. Just give me that
Isn't
ball.
Isn't that cool, though, the service that dogs do for us? I mean, from finding... You know, from rescuing, finding dead bodies in rubble to finding live bodies in rubbles, and some can sniff out cancer, and some can tell if you're going to have a seizure. I mean, God really did an amazing day when he created dogs. I just think they just do so much for us. They're such a companion and such a service. It's just amazing.
Well, we only have 2 minutes left, Dwayne. Do you want to finish up for me here?
Well, no, I really did find a whole lot about Live Your Legacy Summit, and... you should be very proud of the work that you do. You've obviously put a lot of thought and a lot of heart into making sure that this particular project of yours continues to grow and flourish, and with help from some well-minded and similar thinking people, it will.
Oh, thank you so much. As a matter of fact, my next summit is in Atlanta, and it's on September 9th. So people can check it out, and if they are in the area or know people or want to be involved, they can log on and contact me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, everyone. Well, stay tuned. We're going to talk about why you should not jump into the water when you think your dog is lost in a current, and talk about that a little bit, and maybe some other news items with Dwayne and me as we come back on Smart Animal Talk. On All Paws Pet Talk Radio, we'll be talking to Karen from pet of the day, dog of the day, cat of the day as well. But I do want to give out just a quick warning. Anybody hiking the Grouse Grind in North Vancouver, there's somebody putting hooks and traps and poison and meat out there, and they got a Wheaton, who's okay. But just watch yourself. Keep your dog on a leash at the Grouse Grind, please, and make sure they're not eating anything. Okay, everybody, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Devin Duane.
I'm your doggy, and I love you, and you know that I need you too.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And it just occurred to me, Duane, you started one of these segments. Did you howl for everybody?
You know, I didn't howl because nobody can howl like you.
Oh,
nobody
can howl like a wolf. Oh, well, all right. I'll let you go with that. I would like to hear you say hello, but I guess I'll leave it at that. So in the news, there was another story. It happens every few months. You hear about this. Big flood water. Someone's walking their dog, goes to check it out. The dog jumps in. The dog gets carried downstream. The person thinks the dog's drowning and jumps in. The dog later downstream gets safe and swims ashore, and the person's lost. So I just want everybody to know, you know, if your dog goes into rivers like this, go downstream and call him. Don't stand upstream or beside him. Go way downstream and call him. And don't go in. He's more likely to survive it than you are. And helping him will only hurt you. I know that's a hard call to make, but it's just it happens so often. The dog's okay and the person isn't. I also wanted to draw your attention to Grumpy the Cat. Grumpy the Cat now has a Hollywood deal. The latest to be discovered through the internet, Justin Bieber style only. This is an actual cat who is so grumpy, it's getting a cameo in the next Garfield movie. So, you know, keep taking good videos of your dogs and cats. And in the spirit of that, we've got Karen on the show. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thanks, Deb. Good to have you. And, you know, Grumpy Cat's real name is Tartar Sauce.
Tartar Sauce. So you would know that.
Is that the only Grumpy Cat? Is there just like one Grumpy Cat, the one that's getting all the internet? Action.
Well, no, he has a sibling that sometimes shows up as well.
Uh-huh.
You see so many funny things that come across the internet. Speaking of cats, just the other day I saw one, and it's this one grumpy-looking cat, and he's got a very frown and sort of a mean look on his eyes, and he's hanging on to a kitten with his paws, and the kitten's eyes are all bugged out, and the caption on there says, "Keep walking. There's nothing here you should see."
Exactly. Shh, everything's fine. Keep walking. I get it.
And, you know, a lot of times those cats with the smush faces, Tartar Sauce and his sister both have birth defects that cause them to look grumpy all the time. But a lot of people who will nominate their lovely Persian for cat of the day say, you know, he's not really angry. His face just looks that way.
Yeah, sure. I had a job briefly, very briefly, as a groomer in a grooming salon. And no, he's angry. Try and comb the mats out of a cat like that. You find out just how angry he is. The longer the hair, the bigger the attitude. Whoa. I'm a short hair person now. But they were the smushed in face long haired cats. If you take care of them properly, they were bred to be the most docile. So in theory, if you're not a groomer grooming a neglected version of one of these things, it should be okay. They should be pretty placid, as opposed to the wilder Siamese or Abyssinian, which for me are way more fun. But
yes, but you probably don't mind getting woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning by somebody pouncing on your head, whereas other people might have an objection to that.
Or I listen to them playing hockey with each other, you know, on the floor. And I try and figure out what it is they're playing with, hoping it's just something like a pencil and not the dreaded thing they brought in from outside, right?
Or your cell phone or...
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I used to train dogs to find things for people. Keys or whatever they were losing a lot of the time. And it's gotten so much easier because now the cell phones, it's so easy. You teach the dog the ringtone and then you just ding-a-ling. And I've set phones to whistle and bark and meow, and the dog will find the phone in a second if you do that, right? So people aren't losing their phones anymore as much.
You know, I often have said to my husband, I only have hearing on one side of my head. So if he predeceases me, I'm getting a pointer because I don't know where sound is coming from. And I've been with pointers who are like, as soon as a noise even far away happens, they're in that stance. And these were rescue dogs, but they're like, noise that way, right there.
Yeah, they can't help it. It's amazing to see a dog do what it's meant to do like that with no training. And it happens all the time. I know Dwayne's up in a very dry area with big lakes and off-leash walks at the lakes. And I'm sure you're seeing all kinds of summertime stuff, like the dogs who volunteer to save children who are not drowning and try and pull them out of the water, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. They get into a big panic and things like that and think, oh, my goodness, I got to go into action here. What kind of action do I do? Let me think. And then they proceed to have a little fun with it.
You know, we had a family friend who had a Newfoundland who they had to lock in the basement. And then they had to bar the windows because the dog, they lived on a lake and the dog just was sure that children were not allowed to be in the water. So would drag each one out in turn and exhaust itself.
Do you know, I probably would have taught it a trick, some kind of a toy that like a life ring that it could throw and then bring back and throw and then bring back. But those dogs are the best for hard conditions like the coast of Italy where the waves and the surf are really intense. That's who they use as lifeguards there. They've got the weight to handle the current, you know? So it makes sense. And when they're here at Camp Good Dog, those dogs, they just park themselves in the pond. They don't do a lot of swimming. They're sort of mud bathers, you know? They kind of hang out and look around.
If they're wet, they're happy.
They're very happy, very gentle. Nobody messes with them. I mean, they're enormous, right? There's no reason to mess with them.
And, you know, we've had Newfoundlands be dog of the day who are basically the family nanny because you can leave a child with them and nobody's going to go anywhere near that child and the dog will just pad around after the kid and the kid can nap right on top of the dog and it's not a problem.
Well, but we should caution about that because, you know, there's always the first time. The dog's injured, the dog's overtired, the dog's sleeping, the dog's hot. And these dogs, even though they like the waves and the water, they do need shade, and especially black dogs need shade. But you know what I wanted to – we're running out of time quickly, so I want to say dog of the day, cat of the day, petoftheday.com. Go there if you want to see the cutest dog, cat, and pet. But there's something in the news, Dwayne. I wanted your opinion on this. There's a woman, couple, who are going to have their baby – a live baby birth, their own human baby in a dolphin tank. What do you think about that?
They're going to have their own baby in a dolphin tank, like with dolphins in there?
They're calling it dolphin-assisted water birth.
What are the dolphins supposed to do other than just,
like llamas. They'll just sit there and watch each other.
Are they supposed
to offer any kind of mental and physical?
Well, maybe comforting clicks.
Maybe turn on it and attack it? Like, seriously, I don't know if this is such a good plan.
Well,
I don't know.
Some of these mammals are irritated and spooked up by the scent of blood. That's going to happen.
And they're captive. I don't know about this one. I think that the live dolphin-assisted birth is maybe not the best plan. Did the dolphins volunteer for this? Because I bet they didn't,
I bet they don't want to have anything to do with it.
No.
They just didn't chase those balls around and then leave it at that.
Eat some fish. Well, Karen, we've run out of time. I'm sorry, Karen. Too much chat.
Too much chit-chat. Well, you're going to have to nominate one of your dogs for Dog of the Day one of these days.
I just had 9 standard poodle puppies born Saturday night, so maybe we can figure out a way to get you the video. I did get the film. I did get it on film, one live birth, like the whole thing is amazing. But no dolphins, just me and her and my son helping. I was the midwife. He was my assistant. And 9 healthy puppies. Anyway, thank you so much, Karen. Thank you for coming to us from dogoftheday.com, catoftheday.com, petoftheday.com.
Thank you so much for having me. And thanks, Duane.
From Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, be good to your animals.